Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, as well as online at philhendryshow.com, where you can watch live streaming video of Phil TV and HD of our show. You can also join us online after the show and check out the show log that we always post there. We've also put some new material in our archives. February of 2001, the entire month is there, and I have been told by our close personal friend Alex, who's in charge of our archives, that we're going to have the entire archive finished. That means that the full and complete, as far as we've got it, there's some months that, frankly, we're still looking for. Who knows? But we will have a full and complete archive just about from for over a decade's worth of Phil Hendry shows. And I mean full shows at philhendryshow.com. So get a backstage pass. You can throw your money away on all kinds of stuff online, but ours is a great deal. By the way, hit up our link to the podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast, which we're now doing twice a week. We've got episode 4 up, episode 5 coming on Monday. Now, wait till you hear this. And, Bud, don't say anything, because I know you're a rare case.
But you got to see the zombie.
Yes, I am. Just, you know, wait till you hear this, folks. And we want to know, can we find the people? Is it possible to find the people that actually called the CDC to ask the following question? Do zombies exist? Because that's what happened following several disturbing incidents involving cannibalism that have set the internet aflutter with rumors of an impending zombie apocalypse. You love this? The Center for Disease Control and Prevention has released a statement on Friday. This is what our federal government is having to do. That there is no cause to fear the walking dead. The CDC, so the next time you are upset with a senator or somebody costing money with this, that, something, let's always remember Mr. and Mrs. America ain't far behind, man. They won't disappoint you. The CDC does not know of a virus or condition that would reanimate the dead, or one that would present zombie-like symptoms, agency spokesman David Daigle told the Huffington Post. This is not the first time the CDC has addressed zombies in the past. The government agency has released several tongue-in-cheek warnings about the undead. Now, however, the CDC, and don't give me some, you know, I know what they're going to say. They're going to say, well, see, that's why people believe, because of the tongue-in-cheek.
Well, so what are you saying?
What do you mean, what am I saying? Did you hear what I just said, or did you not hear what I just said?
They don't exist.
No, they don't exist, which is what I've been saying to you for 6 months. You don't believe me, though. You got to wait for the federal government to come out with a statement. You know this costs money. You want to talk about money. This costs money. This guy's got to stop down, do a press release. He's got to talk to the media, and he has to say, with a straight face, there's no zombie.
No, he doesn't have to do it for a straight face.
Yeah, he does, because if he's joking around, people are going to think he's joking around.
Yeah, you gotta have a straight face so people believe him. There ain't no zombie apocalypse. Then what did he say?
What do you think he said, man? What did I say? There ain't no zombies. There's no zombies, man. You're just gonna have to accept that, okay?
I'm glad there's no zombie. You tell me there's no zombie, I'm very happy that there's a lack of them. Because I'm not saying I believe in them.
No, not at all, man. No. You were just sweating buckets there for a while.
I wasn't sweating buckets.
Yeah, you were, man. When you heard about that guy in Miami, we're following up that other guy, the cannibal, the gay cannibal.
Yeah, but what about the gay cannibal?
What do you mean, gay cannibal? What the hell is that?
That one from that Chinese guy?
I got to tell you something, man. I've been going through the news today, and the news today is whack. And I'll tell you something else. This is very customary of America. See, this is why, if you don't know history, then you sit here with your thumb up your rear end thinking that everything's coming apart. But this is very customary of America when we are going through difficult times. You track it. You track it. When we are uneasy as a people, we generally make popular fantasy and horror. That generally becomes very, very big on the charts in America. It was true in the 60s when we were going through all kinds of stuff with civil rights, with the urban centers erupting in, with violence and riots, with Vietnam War tearing the country apart. Guess what we had? My Mother, the Car, The Flying Nun, I Dream of Jeannie, The Munsters, the this, the that, the something else. Every kind of goofball thing, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, that was all comedy.
All right, so it was comedy. Whatever. It took the shape of comedy then, because probably comedy was there was a comedy renaissance happening in the 60s. But the fact is, we were into this real escapist crap. Here we go again.
What was when the Night of the Dead came out?
That was 1968, Night of the Living Dead. That was one of the greatest horror movies ever made. But, and then, of course, World War II, and the Depression, good God, man, Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the this, the that, the this, the that, you know.
What about the 50s, though? They said the 50s, everything was good.
Oh, was everything good in the 50s? No, it wasn't. We were freaked out about atomic bombs, Cold Wars. No, man. Probably the best we felt as a nation was like the early 60s, when it was all of that bye-bye birdie and all that crap, you know, the Nutty Professor. That wasn't crap, but goofy stuff like that. Anyway, this is not the first time the CDC has addressed zombies. In the past, the government agency has released several tongue-in-cheek references. Now, however, the CDC decided to weigh in on the zombie question in earnest following a vicious attack that happened in Miami on Saturday when Rudy Eugene, age 31, was shot and killed by police while devouring the face of a homeless man. The victim, 65-year-old Ronald Popo, survived, but the incident has left his face horribly disfigured. Eugene, who may have been high on drugs known as bath salts at the time, seemed invulnerable to the bullets piercing his naked body until the moment he collapsed. Oh, horse dung.
Well, yeah, but that guy shot him 5 times.
Well, the cop shot him 5 times, which doesn't mean that it took 5 bullets to kill him. It means that the guy didn't feel, probably, the first couple of bullets. But he was dead already. He was a dead man already.
Well, what do you mean?
Just what I said. He might not have felt the first couple of bullets because whatever it was, if he was indeed on some sort of a drug, there might have been some kind of a anesthetic effect of how hyped up and just completely over the top the guy was. Just because you don't feel it, just because you know, your adrenaline is pumping so hard, man, that it's keeping you up off the deck for a few extra seconds, doesn't mean that you weren't already a walking dead man. That guy was down. As soon as the cop put the first bullet in him, depending upon where it went, he was dead. On Tuesday, Alexander Cunha, a 21-year-old student from Maryland, admitted to murdering his roommate. This is this gentleman. And then eating his heart and parts of his brain. Now law enforcement officials are on the hunt for Luca Rocco Magnota, a porn actor who allegedly killed and dismembered Zhu Lin, a Chinese man believed to be his lover, and then raped and ate flesh from the corpse. He packaged and mailed other body parts to political offices in Ottawa, Canada, according to the Daily Mail. The gruesome parade of crimes involving cannibalism has continued with a man in Sweden who allegedly cut off and ate his wife's lips, followed by a story out of New York where a man chewed the ear off another man at a Staten Island restaurant.
Well, how do you explain all that? That's pretty weird.
Oh, will you relax?
That is kind of weird, though, man.
It's a bunch of psychotic people. What did we say the other day about what psychotic people do? They're processing the culture around them. Back when everybody thought they were Napoleon Bonaparte and so on and so forth. These psychos, you know, it's monkey see, monkey do, man. You remember when that Lorena Bobbitt cut off her husband's penis?
Yeah.
Do you know how many stories there were of guys cutting off their own penises? I mean, it sounds insane, but there were stories of guys taking chainsaws to their own genitalia. You're asking yourself, why? I don't know why. Because they're processing reality through a completely fractured lens, because they're psychotic. Hey, look at this. Here's something. A guy cut off. A penis is gone somehow. I know. I must cut my own penis off. That's how it's going into their minds. Some of these guys that they're arresting are some real pieces of work. These guys look like they're out to lunch, man.
What's that guy?
This guy is this Alexander Cunha. He's accused of killing his roommate, Coupe Bocoto Lalala. I don't know the cat's name. And eating his heart and part of his brain. I just think it's, you know, Walking Dead. Now, if this were the 80s or the 70s, the first thing you'd be hearing would be the following thing. It's all of these ghoul movies.
Well, yeah, that's what it seems like.
No, it's not, man. That's got nothing to do with it. Because if these psychotic people are hell-bent on violence, it doesn't matter what the violence is. They're processing through their sadistic, violent, screwed-up reality whatever the culture is showing. If it isn't cannibalism, it'd be something else. Maybe there's a TV show on about guys throwing knives. Maybe there's a TV show on about, I don't know, open heart surgery, cutting off your penis. They're going to do what they're going to do.
You don't think the ghoul movies do it?
No, the ghoul movies. But I'm telling you, thank God we live in 2012, because I lived that period where that's what's causing it, all the violent movies. Violent movies will have an effect on a twisted and warped brain, yes. But a twisted and warped brain is going to act out regardless of whether there's a violent movie, whether there was a violent photograph, whether there was a violent argument that he heard, whether he, you know, it doesn't make any difference, man. These people are walking time bombs anyway.
Well, at that time, Dr. Stone said that marijuana make it worse.
Their psychosis can be triggered by drugs, but the fact is they're on their way to becoming psychotic anyway. Doesn't matter, man. You go ahead and smoke some weed, drop some acid, you become a schizophrenic. You were schizophrenic anyway. So that's what's going on, and I hope that makes you feel better, bud. Although somehow I realize that it won't.
No, I'm okay. I want you to explain about the Stone Age tribe, too.
We'll get into the Stone Age tribe. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, so there's your ghoulish zombie stuff. The toughest part of this to get used to is that these are sick people, you know. You want to stomp them out. You want to kill them. I don't blame you, and that guy did need to be shot. But in point of fact, if he was apprehended and the police had him in a cage someplace right now, you'd have to say, he's gone, man. He's freaking gone. All right, we'll be right back here. World-famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour. And PhilHenryShow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit TRNCentral.com.
Sure. The ones that ran.
The zombies, yeah, and 28 days later, 28 weeks later, they ran.
What are you trying to say?
Well, if one of the zombies was, say, I don't know, Carl Lewis, you're dead, man. You're a dead man.
But he's got a rage virus.
Doesn't make any difference. Imagine if one of the zombies is Carl Lewis or Bob Hayes, or one of the, you know, you couldn't run fast enough, man. It would always catch you.
Well, you'd have to kill it.
Oh, will you come on? I'm joking around, man.
I'm sure, man. You think they're going to be a zombie that's got record-breaking speed? Well, that's what Phil is saying.
Bud, will you relax?
No, I'm talking about the 28 days later one, if there's a rage virus.
That's something some jackass made up for a screenplay. Are you nuts? Yeah, that's right. Carl Lewis just got bit by one of the zombies, and he is a smoking fast zombie.
Shut up! Man, that is pretty funny.
Funny? God, I gotta send it into community. Or somebody. I had to send it in, man. No, man, yes, they ran. You're right.
That's all I was trying to say.
Yes, theoretically, you're right, bud. If they are running zombies and one of the zombies happened to have won a gold medal at the Olympics, then yes, you've got a zombie that is smoking ass down the road, catching and eating everybody.
They didn't eat him, though.
It was, yeah, they bit him. They had the rage virus. They wanted to kick their ass. Isn't that what that did?
Yeah, I thought they ate him.
No, the rage virus. They kicked ass.
Isn't that it? Yeah, all they want to do is just mess people up.
Right. It was a bunch of running zombies that just wanted to mess you up. And if they bit you, you got infected. And all I said to Bud is I go, hey, Bud, you know those zombies that run?
Shut up.
Well, I'm going to say it, man, because you're the guy that brought it up. I said, you know the zombies that run, and 28 days later, he goes, yeah. I go, what if one of them was just had, you know, smoking speed on the outside as a wide receiver in the NFL? You know, what if Terrell Owens, for instance, who's now, you know, he's out of the NFL. Did you hear about that?
Well, I love the indoor football.
Yeah, Terrell Owens was cut by the Indoor Football League, okay? And he's still probably pretty fast, though. What if he got bit by a rage virus zombie, and now Terrell Owens is just coming after you, bud?
Shut up!
He's coming down there, man. He's on his way. He scores! Bud's been eaten.
Shut up!
Yeah, man.
If Emmett Thomas tried to kick his ass, he would bite Emmett Thomas.
Emmett Thomas?
Yeah, well, he did the star.
Oh, yeah, Terrell Owens. Yeah, he pissed off all the Cowboy fans. That was very nice. It wasn't Emmett Thomas. It was George Teague. What happened?
Who's he?
On the Cowboy, when Terrell Owens, and then I got to get to the news. Terrell Owens, during a football game when he was with the 49ers and he was playing against the Cowboys, after he scored a touchdown, he ran to the middle of the field and he slammed the ball down on the Dallas Star, which was a complete and obvious act, a sign of disrespect for the Dallas Cowboys. Nothing happened. You know, everybody was sort of stunned. You know, what a classless slob. And so then he scored another touchdown, and he ran to the Star, did the same thing. Only this time, George Teague, who was a defensive back, came up and laid him out, basically. Came up with a flying block, and then the offensive lineman got into it. You know, the big bodyguards. So, I don't know. It'd be George Teague.
But George Teague become one.
Hey, bud, enough with your who becomes a zombie, okay? Forget it.
About Zola Bud.
Zola Budd, if she became a zombie, she'd, you know, run you down over about a two-mile course, but right away, I don't know. All right, so anyway, welcome back. There is some unacceptably bizarre news. We got to roll through some of this stuff. Neighbor 75 shot and killed a 13-year-old after accusing the child of stealing his guns. A 75-year-old Milwaukee man charged in the fatal shooting of a 13-year-old boy who lived next door had been a repeated target of break-ins. John Henry Spooner was charged with one count of first-degree intentional homicide. Spooner was arrested Thursday after waiting for police at the crime scene on Milwaukee's south side. Yeah, I shot him, he told police. Police said they're investigating whether there was a history of disagreements between the man and the boy. The boy, identified as Darius Simmons, was unarmed when he was shot in the street outside their homes. Bad.
Why? Because it wasn't in the guy's house?
Well, it wasn't in the guy's house. I mean, if you're talking about being your house is broken into... I don't know. Anyway, according to the complaint, Spooner approached Simmons as the boy retrieved a garbage cart from in front of the house. The boy's mother, Patricia Larry, who saw the shooting, said Spooner told her son he wanted his stuff back and that he wanted his shotguns back. Simmons and his mother told Spooner they did not have his property. Spooner then pulled a gun, pointed it at Simmons, and fired one shot from about 5 feet away. That's just cold-blooded, man. Spooner fired a second shot at Simmons as the boy was running away, according to the complaint. An autopsy found the boy suffered a gunshot wound to his chest, and the bullet damaged the ventricles of his heart before exiting his back. Police recovered a weapon as well as two spent casings. Spooner remained in jail. A phone message left at his home was not immediately returned. Because he's in jail, there's nobody there.
Baby's got a wife.
I know, I'm just... It wasn't clear if he had an attorney. The case wasn't. They're looking at these. I'm looking at these two houses. They look like they look like the sort of typical houses that you see on the periphery of downtown areas. You know, like in a city, but maybe at one time this was a residential area. You know.
Yeah, like the old like 19th century house.
Yeah, and they were next door neighbors. I looked out the door and I saw the mother kneeling over her boy at the curb screaming, my son, and the old guy was standing right over there by the stop sign with his dog just waiting. God, that's a cat that's just given up on life, man.
That old guy?
Yeah. There, I'll just shoot you. Now, okay, wait for the cops. I'm going to jail. That's it. Life probably for him was, you know, good. You go to prison. But now here's a story that you're going to love. And guess which state we're talking about? A woman is caught performing a sex act on herself, basically. You know what that is. And she's arrested by the side of a highway, only wearing a shirt and exposing herself to passing motorists. She comes originally from Alabama. I don't know about a banjo on her knee. She looks like she's got two black eyes as she was booked into the jail there in Florida. Yes, you're right, Florida.
Gave it away.
I know, I shouldn't have... She was busted in Ocala, Florida, playing with herself, not wearing any underwear, wearing only a shirt. She's a 35-year-old woman by the name of Ashley Horton.
Hey, I know her. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I bet she's mom's going to hear the story.
Well, Mom, if you're listening, Ashley just got arrested in Florida. Ashley Horton, 35, of Alabama, was jailed on Sunday after she allegedly masturbated in front of passing motorists on a busy Florida highway.
Why are you arrested for that?
Funny. Horton later described the biting action as a love tap, according to the Miami News. She bit the cops that busted her. She sounds like some just trash, and she looks like it, too. Nice going there, baby. I guess she thinks she's hot. I bet you a dollar to a donut. She's about as funky and hanky as the day is long, but that's just me, you know.
Well, I ain't seen a nude yet.
No, I wasn't driving down that road in Ocala, so I missed my opportunity. We'll be right back with more here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Yoo-hoo!
This is Harvey Wireman. You're listening to the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. News and Information Hour here with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We will be off for a couple of nights early next week as we travel outside of the confines of the Los Angeles, California area to get some business done. And on behalf of our radio show, and we will be returning midweek, not a big problem. And we thank you very much. If you'd like to know what affiliates carry our radio show, you can go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com, and just look under Phil, P-H-I-L, it's, and look for your state, look for your town, and hopefully you'll find your city there with an affiliate. Well, it was on June the 28th of 2011, just about a year ago, that Ryan Dunn was killed when his Porsche GT3 crashed at 140 miles an hour and burst into flames, killing both Ryan Dunn and his passenger Zachary Hartwell. Well, the best friend of Ryan Dunn did not die. I don't want to say that, but just came damn close. Bam Margera, who is also a cast member of TV's Jackass, as well as, I believe, a member of the cast of the movie, right, Bud?
Yeah, all those guys in the Jackass, the movie, too.
This guy, Bam, who performed a lot of outrageous stunts on Jackass, he's not able to shake that daredevil streak. The 32-year-old is currently in a hospital after kayaking off a 100-foot cliff in Oregon 2 days ago.
What?
Yep.
Well, that's what they do on Jackass.
No, I know that, but how you figure you're going to survive that?
Well, let's read here. He tweeted a picture from his sickbed yesterday revealing he had to undergo an emergency operation following the fall. The picture of him laying in the hospital bed, he doesn't look any worse for the wear. I mean, he looks banged up, but he's looking good. His right shoulder appears to have perhaps some ice applied to it. Alongside the picture, he wrote hernia operation after a 100-foot kayak drop. Oh.
Oh, no, man.
Oh.
What?
Oh!
What?
I'm kidding. I don't know.
But what are you saying?
I don't know. I'm thinking, if you're in a kayak, you got a hernia, which is sometimes the lower abdominal wall. Okay.
Talk about, oh, God, you're talking about it. Oh, yeah, he got a, he blew one up.
No, wait a minute, bud. I'm not saying that. I mean, you're going to hit the water in that kayak. Maybe he, yeah, well, no. We'll see. Anyway, he said he had to have a hernia operation. He paddled off the cliff along with pro kayaker Steve Fisher, but it is not clear if he was also injured. Now, don't you think that would make the news, too?
Yeah, I wonder if he was.
If he wasn't injured, they were both in the same kayak. You can see two guys in this kayak, and I mean, they are going straight down, okay? They are like, ew! So, if he wasn't injured, then it could be something having to do with the way that Margera was positioned in the kayak. Or he didn't, you know, I don't know, he just wasn't as, he didn't insulate himself as well as the other guy. Or maybe that other guy is dead and his body was washed down the river and they'll never find it.
Probably.
In any event, I'm kidding, folks. So that's what happened. Now, Bam was left devastated last year when his close friend and Jackass co-star Ryan Dunn was killed. Dunn died in June of 2011 when he crashed his Porsche GT3 at 140 miles an hour and the vehicle burst into flames. Both Ryan and his passenger, Zachary Hartwell, were both killed instantly. In the wake of the accident, An inconsolable Bam spoke to a local news station and was so distraught he could barely put his loss into words. It was the worst phone call I ever had in my life, he said as he wept. Margera, who was in Arizona at the time of the crash, visited the crash scene in Philadelphia 2 days after the accident. He was visibly overcome, rocking back and forth in agony at the guardrail that the car crashed through. I never lost anybody they cared about. It's my best friend, he told TV station WTXF. He was the happiest person ever. He was the smartest guy. He had so much talent and had so many things going for him. This is not right, he said. You know what, son? I mean, I shouldn't say son. It's like, you're absolutely right. It don't make any sense. Don't make any sense. But you are lucky, my brother, to be alive, you know.
Yeah, man, I got living. You're alive. I'm alive.
You're alive, man. 100-foot drop off a cliff. If you think about it, and I'm saying this with the greatest of respect, if you die and you're a guy, if you work in the TV show, and I'm not saying Ryan Dunn was driving his car like just like a maniac. I don't know what he was thinking.
No, that's part of the show. That wasn't part of the show.
What do you mean part of the show?
God, what are you talking about, man? Why wouldn't it be part of the show?
They don't do anything that crazy.
No, man, all they do is get into a shopping cart with explosives strapped to it. Are you nuts?
Well, okay, but you got a chance of surviving that. There's nothing jackassy about driving. Yes, you're a jackass if you're driving your Porsche at 140 miles an hour and it goes through a guardrail and explodes and burns. But the whole idea of jackass stunts is that you got a fighting chance to survive them. And I don't think I think that goes beyond the scope of the jackass stunt. I think that's just reckless driving, you know?
Yeah, well, if you get in a shopping cart and go down a hill.
Well, what is that? That's jackass, is what it is. You're a jackass. You're not endangering anybody else. That's the thing that we got to point out about that. You're in a car doing that kind of speed on a public highway, a public thoroughfare. You are going to possibly kill somebody else that is just driving down the road, minding their own business, enjoying a nice sunny day, and here comes some cat in a Porsche going like a bat out of hell. The jackass stunts, nobody's going to get hurt except the jackass, you know?
Well, are you sure?
Yeah, pretty much, if you think about it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure. Who's going to get hurt by these two guys coming off the waterfall, 100-foot drop straight down, other than those two guys? Or flowing, you know, going down a hill in a shopping cart, or coming off of a freaking, you know, some kind of handrail on your skateboard, or whatever. No, man, they ain't getting driving a car fast. That's not a jackass stunt. That's called drunk driving. I don't know. Did they have booze in...
I don't think they did.
You don't think they did? I don't know, and I'd hate to say. So, glad to hear you're okay, sir. Bam Margera. A teacher and a cheerleading coach who had sex with three male students gets no jail time but has to register as a sex offender for 25 years. Interesting. A former teacher and cheerleading coach from Kansas who had admitted to having sex with three male students was placed on a 32-month probation on Friday as part of a plea deal. Here's another thing. This whole teachers having sex with students thing. Female teachers having sex with students. Remember, it was just like that Mary Kay Letourneau, and then it was another one, and now it's almost like an epidemic. Is that because a lot of these frustrated women, sexually frustrated or sexually immature or emotionally immature women, are suddenly somehow have been given permission to go and have sex with students? No. It's that these sexually frustrated women or sexually immature women are having sex with their own students as opposed to having sex with one of the bag boys at the supermarket or some kid that came to clean the pool.
Oh, so that's what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. In other words, these women are accidents waiting to happen anyway. But the culture's processed through how jacked up our brains are. So she's going to see all these other teachers doing it. She's going, oh, I'll do that too, because that's kind of like what's happening. It's a monkey see, monkey do culture. But that's why the monkey sees and the monkey does.
What? Monkey paid his dues.
Yeah.
Yeah, the monkey paid his D-O-S. A former teacher and cheerleading coach from Kansas who had admitted to having sex with three male students was placed on a 32-month probation on Friday as part of a plea deal. Michelle Preston of Lenexa, Kansas, would have to serve the 32 months in prison if she violates the conditions of her 3-year probation. Preston, who's married and has an infant daughter, also will have to register as a sex offender for 25 years. That's messed up.
What's that mean?
That means she can't, you know, she's a sex offender. That means that if you move on to her street and you look up the sex offenders that live on the street and you see Mary, what's this chick? What's her name?
Michelle.
Michelle Preston. She's a sex offender. Okay? I mean, it's a drag. So she's going to be coming up on... She's coming up on the sex offender website of every single state in the union. I don't know if it's just Kansas or wherever else. It's an awful long time. She's paying a very high price for very bad judgment, her attorney Scott Toth said after Friday's hearing in Johnson County District Court. Preston showed no emotion as the judge imposed sentence. One of the reasons why we look at this and we say, this is why this argument doesn't take. There's somebody out there is saying the following thing right now. They're saying, boy, if a man did that, they wouldn't just call it bad judgment. They'd call him a pervert and a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay? But you know and I know that no one's listening to that guy.
Yeah, I know. Why?
The reason? Because the victim reacts to the crime differently in the case of the female teacher as opposed to a female student. Meaning, when you have a female student, she is violated. She's traumatized. There's a million things going on with a female, and even if she's not, we perceive her to have been more viciously violated. With the boy, and you can deny it if you want to. I don't give a damn. With a boy, we don't think he has been as badly abused. We think somewhere along the line, the boy, you know, enjoyed it, or it was a coming of age thing. It was bad judgment? Sure. An adult woman should not be having sex with an underage minor? Sure. But we don't see that as a violation the way we see the other as a violation, because girls are more vulnerable, because we know all about the raping of women, the molestation of female children. But with a boy, we don't feel as sorry for him, because a lot of men put themselves in that kid's shoes and very cynically say,
I might have enjoyed it at his age if I was him.
And, I mean, that's what happens, you know.
You realize what's going to happen now, Mr. Henry. You're going to get a lot of email in right here in this article here. Or, I'm sorry.
What are you doing, man?
I want to point something out to you. People are going to send emails in saying you're being irresponsible. That'll be the number one email we get. That and what happened to you on KNEW.
Now, all right, will you shut up, bud? We don't have to go into a whole song and a dance. Maybe we'll get emailed. Ask me if I care. Okay?
You care?
No.
The one I asked.
Preston showed no emotion other than the fact that she opened her legs wide and pointed between them as the judge looked at her.
Really?
No, I'm kidding.
Let me see.
No! Sorry, that's very childish of me. Preston, who showed no emotion, although she was pointing like, "Hey, judge!" No. Imposed sentence and made no public comments afterward, Fox 4 has reported. Who's Fox 4?
That's the name of the reporter.
Right. Preston taught psychology and world geography and coached cheerleading at Shawnee Mission West High School in Overland Park before she was suspended after the allegation surfaced in 2011. Here's a picture of her. Here's her mugshot. Not bad in a pinch.
Yeah, she'll do.
I mean, look at that. Now she's a piece of meat, right? This is the one time you can talk about a woman like she's a piece of meat when she's been involved with this kind of thing. I think it's terrible. But look what we're doing. We're making a big joke out of it.
Well, then don't make a joke out of it. Don't accuse people of doing it. You do yourself.
Look at Bud. I'm just the reporter. Don't kill the messenger if you don't like the messenger. Don't kill the message. Go ahead and kill the messenger. So that's that story, and it's a sad one, and it sucks. We gave you the story about the lady. Now, what about this fat cat? What's the problem here?
No, just a cat weighed, they're going to try to adopt out a cat that weighs something like 35 pounds.
35-pound cat. Oh, yeah, I saw this. It's a big cat, and it isn't just fat. It's big, man.
Yeah, it's about 4 feet long.
4 feet? It's not one of those Savannah cats, is it?
No, it's not one of them. It's a regular house cat, just a big one.
God almighty, they're trying to adopt this cat out. It's right now living with the rescue workers at wherever, some rescue center, some animal rescue center, and they're looking for the right home. I don't know. I mean, I would adopt that cat because I'm a single man, and I ain't got, you know, I just don't have the time for a dog. If I got a dog, I'm too busy, and I work too late, and I can't be awakened at 8 a.m. for a dog that needs to go outside and take a dump. So forget it, man.
Yeah, but think about that cat, man. Probably take a dog-side dump.
Yeah, no question about that. But at least they're going to bury it.
Do you know how much kitty litter you got to buy for a cat like that, man? And forget about the regular tray.
Yeah, I'd probably get like probably a couple, maybe 10 pounds of it.
And forget about the cat box. You'd have to buy something that's like...
Probably got a sandbox.
A sandbox? You mean you're telling me that I'd have to buy a kid's sandbox?
For a cat that size? Yeah.
God, think of that, man. Where are you going to put that? You got a kid's sandbox. You got God knows how much cat litter to put in it. And the cat's taking man-sized dumps.
You think so?
Yes, man. Well, no. I mean, who knows?
But better bury it.
Did I ever tell you about this cat that I had? I swear to God, this cat knew every morning I went into my office to work. This is a number of years ago. And every morning that I went into that office to work, it smelled like that cat had just taken a dump. And I swear, this cat knew, just for laughs, he'd go in and take a dump just before I went in there to go to work.
I think a lot of cats... Oh, got to take a break, Phil.
Oh, sorry, Dan. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Man-sized dumps.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What are you doing? Well, I'm trying to find that picture of the cat for people. I'm talking about the damn cat. I think I ought to be able to find the cat, you know? Here it is. I just found him. SpongeBob is the name of his cat. And if you're watching on Phil TV in HD, I'm going to flip over to this little pictorial they have here. Now, look at the size of this guy.
God, man, like that cat is almost bigger than a lady.
That lady that's holding the cat is a worker at the animal shelter in New York City. Her name is Kendra Mara. She's the associate director of Animal Haven in New York. And look at that slob, man. She's holding it. Look at him, man. There he's smiling. He's looking at her. She's got to hold that sucker.
Man, I've never seen a cat that big.
Now, this is different from the Savannah cat that we were talking about. And the Savannah cat is a crossbreed between a domestic and the Savannah. And here's the cat just laying on his back there.
Yeah, he probably wants to have a stomach scratch.
That's why cats do that?
Yeah.
He's laying on his back wanting to have his tummy scratched there. That's a lot of tummy. And here's another picture of him sitting in her lap. And so look at how big that dude is. And he is a, as I say, he's living there at the animal shelter in New York City. And I suppose at some point they're going to adopt him out to somebody who's, you know.
You have to love, there's no question you'd have to have a lot of money, folks. If you're out thinking about getting a cat that big, then you should have enough money for cat litter that would be probably the... If they sell it by the 100-pound bag, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, what are you saying, bud?
You gotta have money.
Yeah, you'd have to have money to have a cat like that. I don't think you gotta be buying 100-pound bags of litter. I mean, the dude he's a big cat. The Savannah cats, though, are really out there. I mean, they're real different. They're the size of a small dog. Actually, a medium-sized dog.
But what? It's a cat?
It's a cat. It's a crossbreed between a domestic cat... And some species of African cat, one of those mid-sized cats, you know.
Well, you're talking about like it's a car.
Well, whatever. Yeah, I mean, whatever you call these cats, you know, it's not an ocelot, but it's one of those cats that are kind of those small cats. And the thing is domesticated, man. I mean, he's like purring and walking around, and he gets up on the furniture and gets up on the counter in the kitchen and is just like... a regular cat, but man, the food bill on that sucker.
Yeah, that cat eat like a dog.
Oh, yeah, man, there's no question. The freaking food bill on a cat like that. And you don't want to declaw a cat like that. That would just be cruel, man. So get ready, man, to have your furniture just torn to shreds.
Well, man, why would you want to do that?
Well, not every cat claws the hell out of stuff, but I mean, you know.
Get a scratching post.
Yeah, get out of here with a scratching post. Let me tell you something. That stuff never works. Never, ever, ever work. You can give the cat, you got the scratching post right there, And what has the cat done? He's turned your furniture basically into garbage while the scratching post is untouched. So, people are really weird when it comes to their pets, and that's fine. I got nothing against that. But what I do have a real problem with is the way that we experiment with animals, and then we realize, we got no use for that. So, you know, that's a species it's very odd. Animals were bred primarily for their ability to be companions or for some kind of a function that they, some sort of a service they could provide, if you will, or some kind of natural ability that they had. Dogs, are good as overall guardians or overall protection. Cats never became pets. I mean, pets until the early 19th century.
Well, they do that.
Before that, they were literally mousers. They were literally in the house to get rid of vermin. And it wasn't until the 19th century that people started to go, oh, wow, this cat's kind of cool, and, let me be my, you know, have him be a partner in my business. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. And we will see you guys on Thursday night. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. I will be updating the website on my journey out of state over the next several days. So join us online. I'll also be updating the blogs, and I'll be talking to you guys. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.